We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
There's a brewery in Columbus by the name of, I'm going to write this down, have you pronounce it, that is named?
Hoofhearted?
Say it again.
Hoofhearted.
Hoofhearted? Hoofhearted Brewing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's in Columbus.
That is awesome. Hoofhearted. Yeah. I'm so easily entertained. I'm going to use that one with friends.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
And they make very good beer at the Hoofhearted Brewing Company in Columbus. Very good beer.
I'm telling you, I just have a fourth grade sense of humor. I find things like that hilarious.
I learned something in the break. Got an email from Jack Wilson, who wrote to us about the NFL all-time team and Emlyn Tunnell, who was a defensive back.
Okay.
He basically, Jack writes in, I'm 78, remember most of the names you mentioned. I also remember they used a white football with black stripes in night games. And I wanted to look into that. Like, oh,
did they not have lights, I assume? Or why were
they had special night footballs with white stripes around each end.
Huh.
Banned in 1976 because the paint made the balls slick. But I'm reading an article
banned
here.
In 76?
76 is when the night football was banned.
Really?
Yeah.
I do not remember white football.
In 1951, rubber footballs were tried briefly. In 56, the NFL approved the use of easier-to-see white footballs for night games. That's in 1956.
Yeah.
They were around for 20 years, apparently.
Do not remember that.
Me neither, but I mean, I'm reading about it.
Maybe our guest.
I mean, I wasn't alive, so maybe, yeah, maybe Brian Baldinger remembers night footballs.
I mean, sure, because there would have been, well, Monday Night Football debuted in what, 70? Somewhere in around, so I do not remember special colored footballs for night games. But that's all right. It's in line with a whole bunch of other stuff I don't remember. 803.
Oh, there it is.
You got a picture of it?
Uh-huh.
Let's see.
It's
no recollection.
Exactly what you would think. It's a white football with black stripes.
How about that? Did not know. All right. 803-0550.
Learn something every day.
888-552-550. We'll take your calls on the Bills, and we're going to get to Brian in just a moment. He is the radio.com sports NFL insider and also host of the Prevent Defense, an NFL podcast out now on radio.com and the radio.com app. Insider calls are brought to you by the midsize Metris from Mercedes-Benz. And Brian is with us right now on our Western Hotline. Brian, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard, Jeremy. It's good to be with you, man. Thanks a lot for having me.
You weren't playing in the early 70s, but do you remember white footballs with black stripes for night games?
I was a little bit after that.
Okay.
I don't quite remember that part.
Me neither. I must have missed that. So listen, Brian, you were here. One of the reasons why we wanted to get you on, because you were here a couple weeks ago. You saw the Bills in person for their game against the Denver Broncos. 9-3 from a national perspective. Give us your thoughts on what are the 9-3 Bills all about at this point?
Well, they're a well-coached football team that is being built the right way. And if you're going to beat them, you've got to earn it. They don't give you any easy throws. They don't give you any easy touchdowns. They've given up a total of nine passing touchdowns all year. They don't break down in the back end. And so if you're going to beat that team, you really have to earn it. And I think the teams that have beaten them, going back to the Philadelphia game, I mean, they ran the ball really well that day, and they didn't turn it over in a blustery day. And so that's the only way that you beat this team. They don't beat themselves.
As you might imagine, we've spent every week a lot of time talking about Josh Allen and the progress for the young quarterback. What did you know? The Dallas game you would have seen on TV. As I mentioned, you had the Denver game. But in terms of what strides you've seen in Josh's game and his development, what are you seeing from him at this point of his career?
Well, I love Josh Allen. He's an elite athlete. He's an incredible competitor. He plays with a tremendous amount of poise. If he does make a mistake, it usually isn't compounded by another mistake. He's taken a lot of bad plays out of his game that I saw last year and maybe even early this season. He's not making the critical mistakes right now. But, I mean, you see he's an improving player. I mean, he was never a 60% completion quarterback in college. He wasn't that last year, but he's over 61% now. He's getting better, but they built the team around him as what they should have done. They've improved the offensive line. They've added a lot of good young weapons around him, and he's taking advantage of it. And he likes playing with these guys. He likes Cole. He likes John Brown. He likes Motor Singletary. I mean, he likes these guys. And the offensive line is played probably their best game they played all year last week on Thanksgiving, and that's always a good sign. But he helps them out. I mean, he's not a guy that panics in a pocket. I think he really understands where the escape lanes are and where to step up. He's getting a lot better at just overall pocket awareness right now.
On that note, Brian, when you look at a young quarterback in this league, you know, a guy in year two, whatever, and I'm going to ask you about Lamar Jackson in a moment, what are some of the things you look at to try, as you try and figure out if this guy, quote, gets it, or he's going to, you know, improve and keep getting better? What are some of the tip-offs or the signs that you look at from a young quarterback to see if he actually is beginning to get it, so to speak?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, what is he looking at? You know, does he know what he's looking at? Because, I mean, you play, you know, you go around and you watch all these different teams in this league. They all have a different way to sort of trap a quarterback or bait a quarterback. And so does he know what he's looking at? Does he take what the defense gives him? Does he try to force things? Does he try to do too much? I mean, just those kind of things that lead to problems and mistakes. You know, and so I see fewer and fewer of those from him. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the eye test says he's improving, but then if you just go back and really study him, you know, the throw on the second series last week on Thanksgiving coming out of the end zone to Cole Beasley. I mean, it's the escape route. DeMarcus Lawrence has turned the corner and Cody Ford, and he just calmly steps up, eyes down the field. He doesn't drop his eyes, you know, under pressure. And like I said, the guy plays with poise. He doesn't get rattled. I've never seen him rattle, you know, and that's probably his greatest strength.
You if for folks who don't follow Brian on Twitter, at BaldyNFL, he does breakdowns, video clips and breakdowns of various players. And you've had a couple of Bills in the last couple of weeks for sure. I noticed I saw the one about Ed Oliver, and before that I think it was Trey White. Ed Oliver had a huge game Thursday, and he is now playing his best football of his rookie season. When you break down his game and you watch him, not the biggest guy in the world for sure, what do you see as the strengths of his game now?
Well, he's got an incredible body that allows him to do a lot of different things. He's not stiff at all. He can bend. You know, he plays with leverage. I mean, look, the best defensive player in the league is 6 foot tall, you know, and Aaron Donald. I mean, size doesn't have anything to do with the position. Mm-hmm. He's always been a disruptive player. You know, and in the span of 2 minutes, you know, on Thanksgiving Day, he ruined the Cowboys. You know, he got the ball out of Dak Prescott's hands on one series that led to a score, and then he sacked Dak that really put him in a deep hole on third down. I mean, you know, that's what you're looking for. I mean, you're looking for steady play, consistent play, but at the same time, you're looking for splash plays, and he's given you splash plays now the last 3 weeks, and I expect more of them to keep coming. I mean, I think he's kind of figuring things out. You know, they have a good scheme there. They're not asking him to be Aaron Donald right now. He doesn't need to be. But, you know, it's a completely different game than playing nose tackle for the University of Houston, where he was triple team most days. I mean, he's playing in the position. I even think he could play outside at defensive end, you know, because of his speed and his ability to bend and turn the corner. And I won't be surprised to see Sean McDermott put him out there at times.
I mentioned Trey White. The game you were at, the Denver game, was a great game for him because he was matched up on Cortland Sutton, and after an early catch in the first quarter, Sutton did nothing the rest of the day. As you break his game down, what are the strengths you see, and where do you think Trey is right now in terms of cornerbacks around the league?
Well, he's an upper echelon corner. I mean, you know, if Stephon Gilmore, I mean, there's probably four or five names that roll off the top of people's tongues, but he's right there. He shut down Odell Beckham Jr. in that loss to Cleveland. He did nothing against him. Amari had a couple catches, but some of those were against zone. They don't always play straight man. But he's willing to lock up against the elite number one wide receiver, if there is one on a team, and take him and basically plaster him all over the field. You know, he's just got great technique. He doesn't grab. He doesn't hold. He trusts his feet. He's got great hips. He understands route combinations. He's able to clue the quarterback and the receiver at the same time. You know, he's an elite player, and he's been playing at that level now for a while. I think he's finally getting some recognition. That's what happens when you start winning games and you got a nice record. But he's a player that you can really build your secondary around, and that's what the I think that's what the Bills have done.
All right, now comes the easy part of the interview. I'm making you the Bills' defensive coordinator this week. No offense to Leslie Frazier. How do you defend Lamar Jackson? What would you try and do?
Well, everything has basically been done to him. But there is no defense for Lamar. What you have to do is you have to be sound in all of your rules in the option game, because you're going to get a lot of option football. Mm-hmm. You got to be sound in your power football game when they go overload type things, when they take the left tackle Stanley and put him over at right tight end and they go extra tight ends. You got to be sound in your gap responsibilities when they add extra gaps because they've got the fullback and the tight end all coming at you. And then the one thing you can't do, and I see this happening now quite a bit around the league, is you cannot get demoralized by Lamar Jackson. He's going to make plays. It's just going to happen. No matter how sound you are and what you do, he's going to make you miss. He's going to do something spectacular. But you can't hang your head. You have to get ready to play the next play. Up until last week in the third quarter, he had not turned the ball over fumbling once all year. Yeah. And Marcel Behar's got the ball out of his hands and stopped a key drive. I mean, you've got to be able to see if you can get the ball taken out of his hands. He's going to put it out there for you to take it. You've got to get at least one of those in those situations.
We are with Brian Baldinger here, Radio.com, NFL Insider. The other team I want to ask you about, Brian, before we finish up with you, is New England. And, you know, a subject near and dear to us here in Buffalo. And I don't necessarily need you to, although if you'd like to say you think Brady is dead and buried and this is the end, please feel free. But give us your honest assessment of the Brady offense, because it looks like there is now a problem in New England with Brady can't raise all the boats. I mean, there's only so much he can do, and they're struggling offensively. They're winning games because you can't get to 14 or 17 against that defense. What's going on with Brady and their offense?
Well, I mean, it starts up front. I mean, they just lost their starting center, Ted Karras. He was their third center this year, and you know, and now they're going to a free agent. You know, in Ference right now. They lost their left tackle for most of the season. He's back now. They lost Shaq Mason, the right guard. They don't have a really good tight end, certainly a tight end that could block the edges the way Gronk did for a long, long time. They lost their fullback, who was probably the league's best fullback. I mean, you know, you can only lose so many players before there's just a fall-off up front. You know, and then he's playing with a bunch. You know, Mohamed Sanu was traded for less than a month ago, and he's got a rookie that missed most of the season. He's got another rookie free agent that's just that. I mean, there's just not an elite talent around Tom Brady. He's frustrated. But I saw, you know, over the last 2 years, I've had national people ask me, hey, do you think it's over for Brady? And I never say no. I never say it's over for him. Until it's over. And right now it's not over. I mean, they're going to have a chance to be the number one seed. We'll see what happens with Buffalo and the last month of the season. But they'll have a chance to be the number one seed, and it'll go through New England. And they've been a tough place to play in January over the past, you know, decade and a half. So I don't know it's going to change that much right now. They find ways to win games, and that's all that matters. But they're not a good offense, and they're not elite in any way. They're struggling. I mean, they're struggling to score touchdowns. So, you know, that's where they're at right now. But I've seen them coming out of this before, and I think they'll find a way to get a little bit better here before they get to the postseason.
Brian, thanks for hanging out with us, giving us some of your thoughts on the Bills. We appreciate it, and enjoy the rest of the NFL season, sir.
Okay, Harold, Jeremy, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Follow Brian on Twitter. It is at BaldyNFL, and he does a great breakdown, obviously, on not just the Bills, but teams around the National Football League. Really detailed information for you. He is a Radio.com Sports NFL insider, and you can check out Brian's podcast, Prevent Defense. Insider calls are brought to you by the midsize metros from Mercedes-Benz. And we appreciate Brian joining us on the Western Hotline. I saw a stat about the Patriots, the divisional race and all the stuff we've been talking about. It was from Mike Reese, ESPN.com. He covers the Patriots for ESPN.com. So they have a one-game lead through Week 13 in the AFC East. Okay, one game up on the Bills. It is the first time since 2010 that the Patriots have had just a one-game lead this late in the division through week 13. Back then it was the Jets were chasing them. New England was 10-2. The Jets were 9-3. So it's 9 years that we've gone into week 14 that it's been this close in the AFC East. And you had a stat about what the Bills haven't been within, what, three games of New England this late in the year and forever? So there it is, somewhat rarefied air in terms of what's happening in Foxborough and what's happening in the AFC East with the Bills and the Patriots do host Kansas City on Sunday. 803-0550 to join us this morning as we talk about the Bills with you, a little bit about the Sabres this morning. Had a fun, easy win last night, but of course most of your minds are on football and stopping Lamar Jackson in Baltimore on Sunday. You can join us. Lines are open for your thoughts on that matchup.
Are Patriots fans freaking out?
Someone just woke up.
No, they wake up from their general football coma.
Yeah.
Oh, happy December. What do you mean we haven't clinched the division yet?
There's a race. Yeah. Right? I mean, 9 years since that someone's been in one game of New England. I mean, we know they've dominated the division. I mean, when Brady's healthy, they win the division. That's pretty much what's happened. But not even anybody giving them a sniff in 9 years is really amazing. I just started reading it, so I can't really give you details on it. It's a rather long column. But Bill Barnwell has a piece up at ESPN.com about the Patriots offense. Again, I'm barely into it. It isn't Brady's dead. You can bury the Patriots, but it is what a lot of us have been talking about, the fact that this is not a one-week problem with their offense, that this has been going on. He cites week four. You know, he points out that since week four, Brady statistically in a number of different categories has been basically no better than an average quarterback in the National Football League and playing against a pretty easy schedule in terms of opposing defenses. Like I said, I can't give you the deep dive because it's a rather detailed column, and I just started reading it in the break before Brian was on with us. So it's a fascinating story, and it, like Brian pointed out, it's a lot of factors. You know, maybe Brady is slipping a little bit, but the line's had issues, and he doesn't have targets that he really leans on outside of Edelman. They have no production from their tight ends. So, I don't know. I can't fast forward to that. I know I'm getting ahead of the game, but this is the most concerned I think they've been in New England. Are their fans freaking out? I don't know if they're freaking out, but they're not used to this. They're not used to actually sitting there in December, meaningful division games. If there's a meaningful game in December, it's for them trying to get the one seed in home field throughout the conference. They're not used to having an AFC East team chasing them and having a big divisional showdown in week 16 if it gets to that point.
And they'll buckle under the pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't even know what it's like for a, you know.
To be pushed?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Turns out the key to all this.
Look, let it just happen, you know. Like, that's the great thing about if the Bills are in position – where they're one game back or tied, whatever, but at least just one game back going into Foxborough. Great. Let's see, you know, this is all, how do they handle this stuff? And I'm, you know, the challenge facing the Bills, the Baltimore game this week. Now they, you know, they flex the Sunday game into prime time, and a game on the road against Pittsburgh is tough. I'd love for the Bills to go to Foxborough and be one game out to see what happens. I mean, it's not like Brady's going to crumble under the pressure. You know, for goodness sake, this guy's played in pressure-packed games plenty of times in his career, but at least it's a novelty around here. And how do the Bills handle it, being one game back of New England playing an important football game in Foxborough in Week 16? So I just hope it all materializes and things are still in play at that point.
I was looking at tickets to that game.
And the playoff berth is clinched before they get to Foxborough.
For the Bills?
Yeah.
I was looking at tickets to that game and tickets to the Steeler game.
Oh, Pittsburgh, yeah.
On StubHub.
I was watching on the news last night. They were talking about, you know, Bills fans going to Pittsburgh, flying, driving tickets.
As of yesterday, the most expensive ticket, least expensive ticket, was $100 in Pittsburgh. And in New England, it was like $220.
Ooh.
So.
Well, at least you can go see the mall.
I mean, I've been to Patriot Place.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if you've been to a mall, you've been to a mall. If you've been to a.
Filled with Patriot souvenir stores?
Kind of like an outlet mall more than anything.
Oh, okay.
Because it's mostly outdoors, at least when I was there. I mean, it might have tripled in size by by now.
Well, if you don't mind paying $100 for a ticket, Pittsburgh is it's an easy drive. It's a short drive. It's a cool city. You know, I love downtown Pittsburgh. I think it's one of the neater places to be. I haven't been to Heinz Field. I assume it's a good stadium.
I've seen it.
Yeah, I don't know. I have not. Yeah, I've driven by it. I've been to PNC.
I watched it blow up in the Batman movie.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. Well, they rebuilt it fast.
Yeah,
but
only the field fell into the ground. I think the actual stadium proper was...
It was okay. The shell?
I don't know.
The outer structure? I mean, it would be a fun... I think there'll be
what
a lot of
What if they got
Bills
taxpayers
fans.
On the hook to do the...
To redo
the...
To
redo it.
Right. You see some people in Pittsburgh going, I'm not paying for that!
Actually, there's probably insurance, you know.
I think there'll be a lot of Bills fans there that night. You know? I mean, and again, if things don't fall the way they're that you hope they fall this Sunday, the clinching scenario, beat Baltimore and have Houston, Oakland, and Indy all lose, odds are that's not going to happen, then, you know, the Bills will again be in position to clinch a playoff spot in Pittsburgh on Sunday night. And I think for Bills fans, that would be a trip worth taking, as long as you don't mind paying $100 or whatever to see the actual football game. I think there'll be a lot of Bills fans in the crowd. And maybe Steeler fans, like I said, maybe Steeler fans are just kind of ho-hum about a 7-5, 6 seed because they're used to so much more and a higher standard in terms of their football games. Again, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but it's hard not to. It's hard not to think about all the games beyond Baltimore on Sunday. 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550, and we'll take your calls on the Bills and whatever else is on your mind. Get a quick break in. When we get back, we'll still talk football. We're taking your calls on the Bills. We're taking your calls on the Sabres, wherever else you want to get to. That's fine, too. But one of the other stories this week, of course, UB football, getting the bowl bid. Going to a bowl game back-to-back seasons for the first time since they went FBS in 1999. Off to the Bahamas Bowl. We're going to be chatting with UB Athletics Director Mark Allnut when we return about that and more coming up on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Goes under center, snap, handoff, Jarrett driving, pushing, ball over the goal line! Bullseye! Jarrett Patterson with a Mid-American Conference record, sixth touchdown!
That is Paul Peck on the call in the last game, the regular season finale against Bowling Green, when Jarrett Patterson had six touchdowns 1 week after having five against Toledo.
Have we talked about Paul's game intros that he does?
No.
You've got to listen to a UB game to listen to Paul's intros.
Oh, yeah?
He writes these. He weaves words together like
wow.
Shakespeare, I'm telling you.
Shakespearean.
I can't possibly do it justice. It's just worth it.
I got to go back
He's
and listen
He's got a theme
now.
Each week.
Yeah.
Sometimes it rhymes. Sometimes it's about... You got to hear him.
Okay.
It's incredible.
I will check it out. I'm trying to think. I don't know if... Murph did this with the Bills at some point, or maybe Van would. I'm trying to think if one of those guys would have done a similar type of thing. And again, the theme, and there was a theme, like either who they were playing or some whatever. They'd weave in some kind of theme. I don't know, whatever. Maybe it was Murph, and then I don't know if he even does that anymore. Okay, I'll check it out. Anyway, all right. We were going to talk to Mark Allnut. We're trying to get a hold of him. When we hear from the UBAD, we'll get him on the show.
He's already
in the Bahamas.
He's on 10 things to do in the Bahamas.
It's nice. If you're Lance Leipold, we're trying to get Lance on the show this week, but I think they're out recruiting. But also at some point, like, you have to do a trip to the Bahamas for like a press conference. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's not a bad idea. We're not planning down there for a couple weeks, but if you need me to go down there early, I had to meet with the media, hang out for a little bit, do a site survey, maybe figure out some things we need to know about itinerary for the game and all that. Sure, yeah, I'll advance. I'll advance the Bahamas Bowl.
Where is the bowl game? Nassau?
Yeah.
Is that where Atlantis is, or is that not near there? You know, the Atlantis Resort you see all the time in the commercials.
Is that where they do the basketball tournament, the Battle of Atlantis?
Yes, there's a Battle of Atlantis that was just happening last weekend.
I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's in Nassau or where it is.
I'm looking at the top things to
Not
do.
Not the long-lost city of Atlantis. I thought you were asking me about the location of the lost city of Atlantis.
How was that? You liked the nightlife there, Atlantis, before it was lost? flooded one day.
You done?
Went on under the ocean or something?
Yeah, well, you know, there was a lot of, it was actually, there was so much partying and sinning. God was really angry and he flooded the city.
I feel like you're mixing your cities. That would have been Sodom, right? Sodom and Gomorrah?
No, don't worry. I'm making it Atlantis.
All right.
Or is that the one where the volcano exploded and everybody died? No, that's Pompeii.
That's, yeah, Pompeii.
Pompeii, yeah.
All right.
The lost city of Atlantis?
Yeah, well, there's a resort. It always looks like fun. Looks like there's dolphins just swimming around. You can just kind of, you know, catch a ride. Atlantis is in Nassau. Yes. Okay, great. All right, we'll stay there.
You could have worse trips for a bowl game.
You could.
You know? And it's, and I tell you, for UB, getting to the bowl game, getting the first time back-to-back, but now they've never won a bowl game. You know, the three previous trips, they've lost. And this would be their first opportunity. This would be their first bowl win if they go and beat Charlotte, which was an amazing story in itself to get there. Mark Allnutt is joining us, Director of Athletics, University of Buffalo on the Western Hotline. Hey, Mark, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Do you need us to advance the Bahamas? You want us to do a little site survey, check out the hotel for you guys?
You know what? If we would have had this interview maybe on Monday, I would have might have agreed. You know, the advance team is already on the ground, so to speak, down in Bahamas, checking things out. So
okay, well, we can join them. I mean, it's probably not a long plane flight. We check out what restaurants you want to be at, sample the food for you, nightlife.
Sure.
No. Okay. Just a thought. Hey, the bowl bid. I bet you were feeling pretty good after the seventh win that you were going to get a bowl bid. But was there any sweating it out, or were you pretty guaranteed if you beat Bowling Green, you were going to be going somewhere?
It's like you said. I mean, where we are from a conference standpoint, six doesn't guarantee a bowl game, and we'll find out on Sunday which one of our Mid-American peers is going to be left out with 79 teams becoming bowl eligible for 78 spots. So, you know, for us, it's important to get that seventh win because there's a guarantee that you will, you know, participate in the bowl. And just from the conversations after we got to five, and then when we got to six, and you know, obviously, you know, going into this week, we knew we needed to take care of business. There was some talk, you know, amongst the folks in the conference office. I had some conversations with folks at ESPN who run that particular bowl that, you know, they were targeting us, and I'm glad it worked out, man, that we took care of business on Friday. And what a reaction, you know, from our student athletes when we announced that we're going to Bahamas. So I know that, you know, first of all, they're excited to play that 13th game, and, you know, you can't beat the destination, you know, for them to have an incredible experience.
What is it, you know, for the program, Mark, as you're well aware of, I mean, even though you obviously weren't here for all 20 years at FBS, but it's been a struggle. And the program has had to take steps where they try and win on a regular basis, get to a bowl game. Now, get to a MAC championship game. Now they get to back-to-back bowl games for the first time in the history of the program. What kind of step is that in trying to build a program that is successful on a regular basis in conference play?
Well, it means a lot. I mean, you said it, to be able to have that consistency where you're bowl eligible and being able to play in bowls, back-to-back bowl games in the first time of our short FBS existence. But the next step for us is to be able to win a game.
Yep.
And to be able to further stamp that we've we're in a position where we can be competitive, that this program is growing to become one that is very consistent, which we're excited about. And then with the Bahamas Bowl too, the thing that we like about it from an exposure and brand standpoint is we're going to get talked about a great deal. We're the first bowl to kick off bowl season. So when you see those promos on ESPN about, bowl week, there's going to be a lot of talk about, Buffalo and Charlotte being able to, kick it off down in the Bahamas. So for us to be in that position and even, grab more exposure for the program, that's very, very beneficial for, the continued growth of this program.
I think to me, Mark, I'll be honest with you. I was concerned with all of the losses the football team suffered, whether it was guys going pro or using the transfer portal, what have you, graduation. I've seen this before, unfortunately, with UB, and you worry that you go from like 10 wins to like a rebuilding 4-8. And I guess I'd like to ask you about what do you think the coaching staff did in terms of their effort, their work this season to make sure that didn't happen, that to come off of that team and suffer all those losses but still come up with a winning record and not drop down into a rebuilding mode?
This to me is, in working with Lance for 2 years and the staff for 2 years and, obviously studying them before I got here the previous years that they were here, this is their best coaching job, in my opinion, to be able to, essentially rebound from the losses that we experienced last year to be able to, you know, put a team together that, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, you know, was much improved. Offense, we found some people to step up, you know, for some boys that were there. And the continued development of the student athletes that stayed in our program. I mean, when you look at, you know, a kid like Jared Patterson, you know, what he's been able to do, our offensive line, you know, in terms of the growth that they had, you know, the front seven on our defense, which, you know, came in with some question marks to begin with. So, you know, from that standpoint, looking at last year, you know, I want us to be in a point where we are right now. You know, get 7 wins, get to a bowl game, be able to, you know, have those extra bowl practices to continue to build the youth of this team. But then also, too, from a recruiting standpoint, you know, we have something to sell. And it's a good sell that we have, you know, being able to, you know, earn a degree at UB and play football.
Now, what for the next step, to me, I was thinking about, you know, in terms of the conference, Mark, I was thinking about Ohio University. Since Solich has been there, it seems like they're in a bowl game every year, or they're always in contention, and they do that long term as opposed to a cyclical thing. How do you get UB, you know, this is a good start, back-to-back bowl bids, how do you get to that next step of, you know, not having a fall off as seniors graduate and year after year being in that bowl discussion from the MAC?
Well, I think the name that you mentioned, Frank Solich, you know, he's been there for many years. So there's a sense of stability there. There's a sense of being able to grow and develop a program, you know, the right way without, you know, running into some unnecessary speed bumps or anything like that. So when you have a program that's consistent like that, or even if you look at Toledo, you know, a very similar consistent type program that, you know, tends to be bowl eligible and battling for championships. Now, again, they haven't had the same coach there, but you know what, they're able to, you know, either hire from within or identify talent to keep it going. So for us, you know, it's being able to, you know, keep this core, you know, staff in place and be able to continue to build, you know, off the momentum that they have and be able to support, you know, this program, you know, the best I can as AD to, you know, again, to ensure at least best position, you know, this program to be consistent. I think when you're out there and you have that consistency, you know, what happens there is, you know, you have, you know, more buy-in from the community, you know, more supporters. You know, obviously, having an FBS football program in Western New York is a good product to have. So, you know, I think the work, you know, still has to occur in terms of being able to build this program to a consistent manner.
One last question on this, and we'll get a quick basketball thought from you before we let you go. For UB fans that are listening that wouldn't mind spending a few days in the Bahamas in December, what's the deal with tickets and how those might be available for anybody who would like to go to the bowl game?
Yeah, go to our website. That's UBBulls.com. That's the best way to go. Or if you're in the area, stop by our ticket offers or 1-877-UB there. The three options, we put them on sale yesterday at 9 a.m. So those opportunities, the Atlantis in mid-December down in the Bahamas is a great place to go. So there's a direct link in terms of being able to click on the discounted packages that they have for fans. So, you know, those are the steps. Our website, be able to buy from us and go ahead and check out, you know, obviously your flights and it says Atlantis. It's a great resort and it's something that will be a great experience for, you know, our fans and their families that might want to make a trip.
And lastly, your men's basketball team's in Nashville, right, playing Vanderbilt. Quick thought, if you wouldn't mind, on what you've seen so far from Jim Weitzel's club in his first year as head coach.
Yeah, I'm absolutely down here in Nashville with him. Made the trip yesterday to come down here. You know, I've been impressed in terms of, you know, how Jim's approached this season, first and foremost with the recruiting class that he's able to put together, and then the continued development of, you know, returning players that we have on this team. You know, I think it's going to take, you know, a little more time for these guys to play together, but, you know, they showed a lot down in Charleston, how they were able to win, you know, those close games, you know, coming back and beating a feisty Williams Mary's team. So, you know, for us to be down here at SEC Country to play Vanderbilt is going to be a test. I mean, you throw records aside, you know, they have a lot of talent on their team, and it's going to be a good test for us. And I feel if we come away with a win here, that'll definitely help us with our next game against DePaul, which are, again, back-to-back, a great test for our team. But at the end of the day, as we all know, it's the preparation, you know, non-conference to help with Mid-American play, which is going to be very important as we move forward.
Well, good luck tonight against the Commodores. And, again, congratulations on the bowl bid, and thanks for coming on this morning.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. You guys have a great day, and maybe next time we can get you down to Bahamas, okay?
Yeah, we're still free if somebody needs help on the site survey, so just let us know.
I hear you. Thanks, guys.
All right, Mark, you have a good day. Mark Allnutt, athletic director at University of Buffalo, joining us. UB game tonight against Vanderbilt over on our sister station, ESPN 1520.
That's a good question. You're given free trip to either UB in the Bahamas Bowl.
Yeah, or is that
Bills Patriots?
That's the weekend of the Patriots game that Sunday. Can I do both? Go down to the Bahamas. The game's on Friday night.
You know, you can't do both.
Isn't it? It's a Friday night game.
And the Bills Patriots game's at 4:30. You're just not getting it done. You're not getting it.
Well, you're
there.
Chartering me a jet.
No. You can go to one. Which one do you go to?
I'm going to the Bahamas. You have a good time in Foxborough.
Right. You'll watch a game on a bar, at a tiki bar.
Yep.
With
one
a nice
them,
drink.
Drink with the flower, the whatever, the umbrella in it,
but
rather.
You pick fine. The Bills to beat the Patriots.
Great, and I'll enjoy it on the beach in the Bahamas.
But if the
Nassau.
Patriots don't lose to Kansas City, it won't really matter.
It's very true. It's very true.
I mean, it'll matter for mattering, but, you know, in like trying to win the division, it probably won't matter. We'll get a full week of people saying Andy Dalton's going to do the Bills another solid by beating the Patriots, but that wouldn't even matter either.
But now
they have to lose. If they beat the Chiefs, they have to lose to Miami.
Yeah, right after the Bills,
For that Bills game to have an impact on the division.
Oh, is Miami before the Bills game?
Miami is their last game of the season.
Yeah, okay, so they have to lose that.
So the only way that the Bills game and the Bills beating the Patriots would matter is if they end up losing to Miami. So, or, I mean, again, if they lose this week to the Chiefs, it's all bets are off. The Bills would also have to, by the way, beat the Ravens in that scenario.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, Bahamas.
The Bills-Patriots game is big, but it doesn't even really have to be that big.
Where are you going? You picking the Bahamas or are you going to Foxborough?
The Bahamas.
Okay, good. Brayton.
I don't want to go to Foxborough.
You're on your own.
Have you ever talked to those people? Boston?
What,
I want to spend more time around those?
I'd rather go to the Bahamas, too.
It's hard to understand them. The accent. I can't make out exactly what they're talking about.
I'll pick the Bills' first playoff game instead. That'd be more fun. Well, it might be warm.
You'll be back in time for that.
No.
That will not be played in the Bahamas. Extendo Sports coming up in a moment. Instigators at the top of the hour. I'm sure they're in a good mood today after the romp last night the Sabres had over the New Jersey Devils. One quick Sabres note, by the way, the team tweeting out that Curtis Lazar has been assigned back to Rochester. Extendo Sports in a moment on WGR.
This is the home for breaking sports news in Western New York and play-by-play action of the Buffalo Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, we're in the holiday season, and I want to give an idea for a gift here. If you're dealing with back and neck pain this time of year, you can give yourself a perfect gift for the holidays, and that is a pain-free back or a pain-free neck, and you can get that. Thanks to Dr. Reeb at All Natural Chiropractic and Spinal Decompression. Whatever issue you have, could be disc degeneration. It could be a bulging disc. Maybe you got injured in a car accident and you're dealing with pain from that. Could be, I talked to Dr. Reeb about this recently. He was telling me about how people get sports injuries in high school whenever you're playing, right? And like 20 years later, it emerges and you have back and or neck pain. Find out about spinal decompression from Dr. Reeb. No pain, no needles, no surgery, no pills. You lay on a table and there's your treatment. And Dr. Reeb's been doing this for more than 10 years. He is considered the leader in spinal decompression here in Western New York. Now, if you call 1-888-59-SPINE, if you qualify for the spinal decompression and you sign up by December 31st, they'll take $550 off. And the great thing about this is it's a long-term fix. You can find other temporary fixes for your issues, your pain, but this is long-term, and Dr. Reeb has had a very high success rate with spinal decompression. So find out more. You can check out their website. It is allnaturalchiropractic.com. Give them a call, 1-888-59-SPINE. Again, time-sensitive, if you will, because like I said, if you sign up and you qualify and do that by December 31st, you get $550 off. 1-888-59-SPINE to call Dr. Reeb and All Natural Chiropractic.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Couple quick notes. College football playoff ranking comes out tonight. There shouldn't be any drama with 1, 2, and 3, and 4. The big question is, who's at 5? I would expect Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, and Georgia stay in the top 4. We know Alabama lost, so they're going out. Why is 5? Who's 5? Well, if Georgia loses to LSU in the SEC championship, 5 has a really good shot of playing in the playoffs, whether it's Utah, Oklahoma, probably one of those two.
You say really good shot. Define really good shot. Who's going to get knocked out?
If Georgia loses to LSU,
okay, right.
That spot opens up in the playoffs. Who's going in? It's either Utah if they beat Oregon, or Oklahoma, or Baylor maybe. If Baylor wins the Big 12 over Oklahoma, it would probably be one of those three teams. So who's 5? And 6 and 7 is the drama tonight, not 1, 2, 3, 4. Because Ohio State was 1 last week, right? They're not going to flip-flop LSU. Ohio State went up to Michigan and hung 50-whatever points on Michigan. And LSU won easily, too. I assume they're all going to stay right where they were last week in the top 4.
Just seeing a story here from last night's Monday night game that Chris Carson subbed himself out near the goal line last night. So backup running back Rashad Penny could score.
Oh, that was nice, except for Chris Carson fantasy holders.
Exactly.
Are you
He subbed himself out. No, I mean, I didn't I didn't have him. He's been a big producer. He's got as many 100-yard and touchdown games as like McCaffrey.
Did Penny score?
Penny did score.
He got a touchdown?
So,
2 minute warning.
Carson subs himself out.
Is that like a bad beat?
That's tough. That's a tough one.
Somebody got home going yelling at the screen. What are you doing?
Crazy beats. I saw one. Here's a quick thought I had last night. We got 1 minute. Maybe we'll spend some time on this soon. The sports venues are soon going to have gambling in them, right?
Some already do.
Yeah. Okay. So when the sports venues become a place where they encourage you to come and gamble and give them your money and they win money on that, will that be the thing that finally brings ticket prices down? Because casinos give you money to come there.
Right.
Here's $10 for free.
Free play here. Come. Right.
Just come here and give us this money back.
Yeah.
We'll take our chance. I mean, we know how this works.
So because of another revenue stream for teams, maybe they can
you
knock off some ticket?
You have such a big revenue stream for teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a revenue stream that also does pay for winners.
Last
you know,
minute of yeah, play in the we'll, show.
Because if I'm going to a game and I'm spending a lot for a ticket, I'm going to be less likely to part ways with that money for the gambling at the event. And that's one way to keep people coming to games is have gambling at the games.
Yeah.
The price, does it come down as a result?
I don't know.
Around the country, around the sports world?
I'd be curious to see. The only one I know of for sure is New Jersey. I know there's gambling in the Devil's Arena. I'd be curious to see what other venues are now allowed to have gambling kiosks and if that has altered the price structure.
And my question that comes with this is not will they agree to take less. Will they strike a balance, owners and teams, where, oh, we're making more,
over here,
but the box office is less.
Right, right. We're making the revenue over here instead of this column. All right, Instigators, coming up next. Enjoy your Tuesday. It's sunny, and have a great day, and we're back tomorrow morning at 6.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.